We meow.
Meow.
Meow. Worms. This is the Freedom Fiends live radio musical broadcast extravaganza. I am Mr. Michael Dean, the Iron Hamster. We have on the other end of the interview is Ms. Diana Kyler. Are you safe? Are you there? Have you been contacted by the government, Diana?
No, I'm good. I'm all good.
Cool. Excellent. Yeah. And we have an interview guest today. It's a guy who does rap musical group stylings about liberty. It's a guy named Nemer Vedati. Are you there, Nemer?
Nemer.
Am I saying your name right?
You are. Quite an honor to have me on your show, Mr. Dean.
Turn up a little bit. It was, dude, we had it good, but you get on and you get shy. I guess you've never been on radio before, so no. You're a little shy. You're not used to this. Mm-hmm. So you've got a new hip-hop musical group, rap group, hip-hop rap musical group stylings record out, right? Or is it not out? Or what's the deal?
Yeah, I think that's the amount of adjectives appropriate to it. No, I don't have a record out. I've been putting all of my songs on YouTube.
You ain't got no vinyl?
No vinyl. Not yet, even though it's coming back into style. No, but what I did, I made a actual video. Like the last video I made was, was with a gentleman named MWD, and we worked on it, and there was a guy named the Bad Quacker, and he played Santa Claus, and it was called A Gun for Everyone.
I saw
so
that.
It's been two years.
I didn't like the guitar, though. The guitar was really, like, too rock, man.
Too rock. I was like, man, come on. Yeah. You're trying to bring it back to 1985?
Ad rock. It was too ad rock, man.
It was too ad rock. That is your name.
It was like third. The guitar on that was like fourth rate. Who was it who did Walk This Way with Aerosmith?
Run DMC.
Oh, yeah. It was like fourth rate. Yeah. It was like Rick Rubin drunk in his dorm room playing guitar.
Yeah. You know, the guitar player might have been awesome. It's probably whoever produced the track that messed it all up.
Yeah. Well, yeah. I don't really like the rap music.
I feel like this is an inside joke I'm missing here.
play catch up. Come on. Play catch up.
Yeah. My wife's taking pictures of my new screen setup. I'm actually using you. You and I met a couple weeks ago, Nemer Vedati, on the Face Beefs. And you were giving me advice about... I was having back pain with my computer, and you said to stand up and be counted. And so I have this desk that sits on my desk, and then I put a monitor on it, and it's actually a flat screen TV monitor. So my wife take pictures of me using this. I have like three giant screens, and it looks like I'm a day trader for the NSA or something doing this.
It's the MWD war room, and you're standing in front of it looking at the map of megadeths.
Of mega hits. Yeah.
With your long hippie hair.
Yeah. You should have got that guy from Megadeth to play guitar on your hip-hop rap musical group style.
Maybe next time. I'll tweet at him. I'll tweet my new video at him. My new video.
What's it called?
See my chains.
Yeah.
Yeah, with fellow ANCAP rapper Mason Moore, who's put out his own ANCAP rap. He actually put out a mixtape.
How do you guys find each other? Do you have like meetings or something? Where do you ANCAP rappers find each other?
You know, I think he was a libertarian. He was like a minarchist at some point. Yeah, this is the ANCAP rap meetup, all three of us.
You tend to turn people from minarchist to all the way no government man, though. I've heard that.
He was already there. Just he had a mixtape on Dat Piff. That's where people put mixtapes.
Dat Piff.
Yeah, he had one on. It's kind of like Das Racist.
I don't know what that is.
I think their slogan is where mixtapes get got. So that's where you go to if you want to get got.
That's not proper English.
Is that even a thing anymore? Is there such thing as proper English?
No. Well, you know, Bill Bryson said that the difference between a dialect and a language is a language is a dialect with an army.
Right.
I got into an argument with my dad the other day about whether I am well or I am good. And I had read something recently that, because whenever I say, he asks me how I am, I say, I'm good. He's like, you're well. And I'm like, okay, dad, whatever. You know, and so I read something recently that said that it's actually proper to say I'm good. However, when I explained this to him, when I explained this to him, he said, oh, it's only because English has just gotten all crazy, blah, blah, blah.
I always revert back to the, when someone says, I'm doing good, you say, no, or the saying is, no, Superman does good. You're doing well. But that's actually taking English lessons from the literally illiterate character Tracy Morgan on 30 Rock.
Is he literally illiterate in that
his
show?
Character? Well, there's kind of a running gag of like his character might be illiterate.
Okay. Like he cries during an after school special about kids who should learn how to read.
I think he was in some after school specials about kids who needed to learn how to read and like
kids who can't read. Good.
And he ad-libbed the script because he couldn't read the script. That was the joke.
That was a good show.
That's fantastic.
Yeah, there's one where they're talking about him being illiterate and they show like a couple clips of his alleged films. And one is like, it looks like a 70s cop film. Like he's running with a gun and he's got a white partner. And they're like, we better go get those bad guys with their drugs. I mean, gold. I mean, wait, counterfeit watch. What are we doing?
That could be even if he had read the script, though, and just didn't care because it was all the same.
Yeah.
Insert contraband here kind of a thing.
I'm always amazed how like pop culture just kind of flows through people's head like a river and they forget it. I was listening to Free Talk Live the other day and they were talking about there's some new Seth Rogen movie coming out about the plot of it is basically like they're planning to assassinate Kim Jong-un in it. And you know, it sounds like The Hangover Part 9 or something. And and Derek J and Ian Freeman and Mark Edge were like, you know, Derek was like, yeah, I don't think there's ever been a comedy where like the plot is to assassinate a current world leader. That's what? Revolutionary. And I just wrote him and I'm like, Team America, they Team tried America. To kill that yeah, guy's exactly. father. And they do. It's a comedy. Like everyone in that room has seen that picture, that movie, I'm sure. At yeah. least Derek oh, yeah. Freeman. Oh,
yeah. I think a lot of these people don't watch television. They don't stay up on the pop culture stuff. So
I think
a movie
if you're not,
though, and it was a movie by the
I know
South
that's
Park
true.
Guys.
Yeah,
you kind of have to have it's part of required viewing for all libertarians.
Yeah, a lot of libertarians are kind of like, ooh, I don't watch TV. I only listen to podcasts from the Mises Institute. I kind of feel like if
not
you don't
just libertarians,
watch,
dude.
I kind of feel
like everybody
if you don't watch TV. And movies, I feel like you don't really, people shouldn't listen to you about what's going on in the world.
Why is that? You have to justify
I'm
that.
I'm not saying that Mark, Ian, and Derek shouldn't be listened to, but I don't know. It's me being anti-snobby, I guess.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Snobby.
You're an anti-snob snob.
Yeah.
Yeah, so you're an expert on pop culture, rap, styling, musical, rock groups.
I'm no expert.
Mr. Sure. Vedati. How do you say your last name?
Vedati.
And your first name?
Nima.
Okay. Nima Vedati.
It's the cats out of the cats have flown.
Okay.
Flowed.
Cats have meow. Okay, meow. So I watched this hip hop rap stylings as much as I could of it. And, you know, I just, the rap music just hurts my little kitty ears. I'm like, this isn't music. These people are just yelling about, you know, these are just criminals yelling about their girlfriend's lady parts. But, So what's this song about? I noticed, Annie, you mentioned like taking care of your family. That doesn't seem like, is that a common thing in rap or is it just, I thought it was all about murdering policemen or something. Murdering the honest law enforcement agents of Los Angeles.
The first line is, I just want to spit, get money, feed my daughter, live peaceful, right? I mean, that's right. That's all any of us want to do. Whether or not you have a daughter, you want to take care of the ones you love. So I think that that's a very human element. And rap to me is about taking the most human things that you experience and helping others to understand how you feel about them. Now, for some people who are of certain ages and in certain circles, that is gang life or drugs or dealing or whatever. But I'm older now, so I just want to feed my daughter.
Yeah, when I met you, I've never met you. We just met on Facebeef last week. Okay, so so did you see that documentary, Something from Nothing, the story of rap with Ice-T?
No, I want to. It's on
great.
My docket.
It's great. Now, speak to the title. It is like Something for Nothing. It's kind of like a classic thing of hip hop. It's like people with no training, but with experience. Like it's kind of like the new folk music I've heard people say. That's a really old saying about it. But what do you think about that? Yeah.
No, totally. All you need for hip hop is your mouth. I mean, you don't even need a beat. You can go a cappella. You can have your friends circle up. It's called a cipher, and they can give you the beat. You know, they can bang on their own bodies or clap or stomp their feet or even just beatbox. That's why all you really need is a mouth, maybe two. One person beatboxing, one person spitting. And that's all it is. It's you rhythmically explain things. You use clever wordplay. It's an art form that is, I guess, the pinnacle of mouth usage for music, because of course your voice comes from your diaphragm, doesn't really come from your mouth. To me, rap is an art form about the percussion of your syllables, and then at the same time the poetry and imagery of your words.
But don't we need the government to regulate it? Don't some of these people go too far?
You made my headphones fall off. I missed that last one.
It's like a cartoon, man.
Yeah, it was. You know, it's hilarious. There's actually, and he's got the worst rap name ever. I'll grant you that. There's a guy named Tiny Doo, D-O-O-O, or I guess it's two O's. Tiny Doo, D-O-O. That's it. And he's apparently been charged with some anti-gang. You know how they have the multipliers out in California where if you do something, but you do it in the furtherance of a gang?
Government math.
Yeah, government math. Just for his record, he put out a record, and somehow the police are trying to charge him with gang activity just for the content, his lyrical content in an album, rap album.
Does he admit to actual crimes in it?
I don't think so. I don't think so. And even if you did, I don't think that's grounds. I mean, the First Amendment, I guess, according to the Supreme Court, some men in robes, as long as you're not directly inciting people to violence, you can say whatever you want to say, even admit to crimes. Well, and they're not charging him with a crime that he admits to.
But admit, yeah, that's what I was thinking. Like, there's actually, I'm thinking of an episode of The Shield, and I think there's one of CSI, too, where they, like, crack cases by listening to, what's that Mexican drug folk cowboy music? Narco Corridos.
Yeah. There's one in Breaking Bad. It's the intro for one of the seasons.
Oh, I turned you on to that. Oh, wait, I just met you last week on the Facebook. But you've seen that, right? Yeah, you thought it was really funny.
I did. Yeah. Awesome. But then if that was the case, they'd charge him with a crime. Like they say, you're accused of accessory to murder.
And here's the evidence.
Here's the evidence. The album would be the evidence, not the crime itself.
Yeah. Man, that's what a time to be alive. It seems like there's more freedom than ever, but like less freedom than ever, or you have to worry about your freedoms more than ever.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, everybody's placing as much bets as they can on the table, I guess. So the stakes are higher for the freedom lovers. The stakes are also higher for the statists.
Worms.
My money's on the freedom lovers.
Yay. We'll be back after this trip to the free market.
You and the hamster in your brain are listening to Freedom Fiends with Michael Dean and his weird friends.
Admit it. You hate shopping for Christmas. You do. It's a hassle coupled with a burden, mechanically checking off friends, relatives, and coworkers from your list. You're probably not even religious, but if you are, is buying your cousin some little made-in-China piece of plastic really celebrating the birth of your savior? This holiday season, why buy gifts for friends and relatives? Most of them are statists anyway. You should send that money to the Freedom Fiends instead. The Freedom Fiends will use your money to help spread education of horizontal liberation throughout the world. If you want to help provide inoculation from indoctrination, go to freedomfiends.com and click on the spinning coin on any post to send your money to the Fiends instead. Because buying crap for unappreciative statist relatives won't get your name on the golden floppy disk of redemption. And if you must shop for Christmas, please do it through the Freedom Fiends Amazon link over on the right side of freedomfiends.com. It won't cost you anything extra, and Amazon will save you the danger of holiday drive-by stabbings at your local mall. Amazon pretty much sells everything you can buy on this earth, except for guns and weed. But they do sell the DVD Guns and Weed: The Road to Freedom, so get that for your gun-hating stoner brother or neocon gun nut dad. They'll thank you for it. That's freedomfiends.com.
Diana Kyler, that's her meowing. And we're talking to Mr. Nima Vidati, who is, I was pretending like I didn't know him, but I know him quite well. He was the founder of this show with me. You guys there?
Yeah, I'm here.
I'm here.
Yeah. Yeah, he was the founder of the show with me back in 2011. The show started as a podcast on April Fool's Day, 2011. Yeah, and before that, we made sitting in the same room. We actually made a movie called Guns and Weed, The Road to Freedom, which you can get at gunsandweed.com. And during the break, let's recreate what just happened during the break, because it's kind of funny.
And for the sake of transparency, let's say it out loud on the radio.
So Diana, did you get around to calling any stations to see if they'd add the Fiends? I know you said you were going to find some time to do that.
Yeah, no, not yet. I'm sorry. My sleep has been all messed up, and I've been sick and stuff like that.
Deja vu. Oh man, that's crazy. Yeah, that was like the exact interaction between me and Michael.
Yeah, but I got
a year and a half ago, I guess. Yeah.
But I got really frustrated with you, and now I can just like distribute that frustration among 14 people, so it's not
decentralized frustration nodes.
Yes.
Yeah, my sleep has been messed up since I got back from Dubai. So it's like I'm up all night, you know, sleeping all day. And that does not serve for calling radio stations for people that leave their office at like noon and stuff like that. So if I'm not asleep, if I'm not awake by 2, then
at 3 though, 3 East Coast time would actually be noon West Coast
time.
True. You can still
calls,
man.
Yeah, that's
and they're,
true.
And they're all arranged by, and this is a teaching hospital, so we do this stuff live because we're trying to teach everybody how to do this. So Diana is the laughing kitty. I am my radio wrestling name is the Iron Hamster. And Dean Bodotti said he's going to be the gallant thumpy wucket. What? I don't know what that is.
Sounds hilarious though, doesn't it?
What is it?
It immediately came to my mind when you gave me everybody, and I see everybody's names before, but I was like, I think I want to be the gallant thumpy wucket.
Now that was your second choice after I nixed your first choice. What was your first choice?
I thought I wasn't allowed to say it.
No, we can talk about why I didn't like it. I'll do that.
Oh, because we are a teaching hospital. I believe it was the Plutonium Ayatollah.
Yeah. That's going to get us droned, man, or kicked off stations. But
I had just watched, there's a new documentary about the Iron Sheik, or Sheik, I guess he says it, Sheik. Which, growing up, he was the only Iranian. He was the only Persian person on TV when I was a kid. So, like, that was my only role model.
The Iron Sheik?
The Iron Sheik.
You remember
do you remember him?
Wow.
You should.
The name sounds familiar, but I don't remember actually seeing him on TV.
You're a girl. If you were a boy, you'd know him and Evil Knievel really well.
Yeah.
Oh, Evil Knievel, definitely, yeah.
Oh, okay. Well, Iron Sheik, he was kind of like an insane caricature of a Middle Eastern stereotype. And he was the most famous wrestling bad guy, I guess, of that era. Like, without him, there wouldn't have been a Hulk Hogan. Because the guy who had the belt said he would not actually lose to Hulk Hogan because he didn't respect Hulk Hogan as a wrestler.
That's how I know the Iron Sheik. I totally know him. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Was this before, now
he's on Twitter and he's like this big Twitter phenomenon with like 400,000 followers.
Was that before or after the Iranian Revolution?
Well, that's the thing.
After,
so
right?
Did that kill his career?
I do know it. That's what made his career. That's why this doc
the Iranian
is so
Revolution made his career.
It made his career. So he wrestled in Iran under the Shah. He was like a teenage kid. He actual wrestled and he like went to the Olympics. Oh. He has like a gold medal. He was like a champion, like a world champion. And he came to America because the Shah apparently talked to like his colleague who was also a champion. And then a few days later, his colleague mysteriously committed suicide. Ooh. And so the Iron Sheik was like, I think I'll go to America. And so he went to America. He was a wrestling coach at a college and like also highly acclaimed and like went to national championships and stuff like that. And then he started pro wrestling.
What's his actual real name besides the Iron Sheik?
It's Hosro Vaziri.
Oh, okay.
I think is it. And
you are sure good at pronouncing them Middle Eastern names, boy. That's kind of suspect, I think.
I'm Iranian, so I always felt this kind of weird affinity for him, even though he was like the TV bad guy.
But he was also a goofball, you know.
Yeah,
really realize that when you're that age, though. Like, I remember,
right.
I mean, I thought I was more upset to find out TV wrestling was fake than to find out there wasn't a Santa Claus.
Oh, because I remember.
He also has a big role in people finding out it was fake.
Yeah, yeah.
because
I remember arguing with people all the time when I was in high school about that. Cause I would, you know, I told them, look, it's fake. It's totally fake. No, it's not fake. It's totally real, man. And I'm like, right, no, right. Are you stupid?
Apparently like rednecks would come after the arena. They would look for the Iron Sheik and try to assassinate him because they thought he had regular phone calls with the Ayatollah Khomeini. They thought, man, he was like a foreign agent.
Wow.
Of course. That doesn't surprise me.
We'll be back after this trip to the free market.
Freedom Fiends with Michael Dean. This is what radio sounds like now.
Do you believe in free speech? Jay Raven had her True Shives YouTube channel taken down. We believe this censorship was wrong, and we believe the channel is a clear example of free speech. Many people are bullied on the internet, but Jay Raven actually stood up to the bullying. She has filed a self-defense lawsuit against the individuals who took down the channel. The outcome of this suit could be very important to the future of free speech. Learn more at trueshives.com. That's Tango, Romeo, Uniform, Sierra, Hotel, India, Bravo, Echo, Sierra.com. Trueshives.com.
Here we go.
I don't really care. I'm like,
you're all Yankees to me.
You're all Yankees to me.
Sure.
Freedom Fiends, we're talking about the Iron Sheik and where people are from. I said Diana sounds like North Carolina, Florida, Texan. And she
and I've lived in all three places, so.
Yeah. And Nima said, what did you say about North Carolina, Nima?
I asked if it counted as the South. It's got North in the name.
And I said, them shooting words, man.
Shooting words. Yeah. And yeah, Virginia is north of us and they're still considered South. So
I used to have a friend in boarding school that was from Alabama that said he only liked bands and musicians from the South.
Okay,
and I was
so
like, and I was
Leonard
like,
Skinner, people
yeah,
like that.
Yeah. Yeah. And I was like, well, you like Neil Young. And he's like, he's from Southern Canada.
Everybody from Canada is from Southern Canada.
Yeah. Well, yeah, because like, you know, the top 90% there is, you know, too cold to live pretty much.
Tundra.
Yeah. Yeah. We get a hit once in a while from Nun Attack or whatever that really northern. I think that's the name of a place, man, near the North Pole. But
Nun Attack?
Yeah.
There's a lot of N-U-N fighting you?
Like a nun fighting you. Yeah. Okay. Well, it's how it's pronounced. There's a lot of stuff that ends with A-T-K or A-T. Like, it's pronounced
attack. It's like okay. Inuit.
Yeah, yeah.
It's,
right?
it's a first people's name.
Yeah, first people's is, yeah, people call they're not Native Americans in Canada. They're first nations.
They're first people's. Yes, they're first the first nations. People we screw over when we run out of money.
when we come over from Europe. Yeah.
Yeah. That's great.
Yep. So, the Iron Sheik, man. We're talking about the Iron Sheik. And we're going to talk about some more important things later. But, yeah, you know, like, before the Iranian Revolution, you know, when people stormed the American embassy. Consulate there, and which you can see a slightly warped view of in the movie Argo. Do you see that yet?
I thought that was good. I thought Argo was good.
It was a good movie. I just don't know how historically accurate it is. And, it paints the messed over indigenous people of Iran as all bad people when, you know, history likes to do that where history goes in and, you know, an empire nation goes in and messes everybody over and they kind of poke back. And then history says, look, they're poking us.
They're bad guys.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, I'm sure the guys who were the hostage takers in the crisis probably thought of themselves as the Wolverines.
As freedom fighters.
Red Dawn.
Right.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah. Yeah. And
The interesting thing about Argo is I remember when that fake movie came out.
The real fake movie that's in that movie?
Yeah. Because I remember my mom was totally into cheesy science fiction.
I don't think
fiction.
It came out. It might have come out
later.
Well,
it didn't come out, but the advertisement came out for it. And my mom was into cheesy science fiction. I can remember that she was excited about it.
Wow.
What's the real fake movie? I don't know what that is.
Okay. The plot of Argo, it's based on an actual... thing was there was a handful of American workers who didn't get out of the consulate who were like surrounded and held and they got out. Actually, they got out and like walked down the street to I think it was like the Australian consulate house
or something like that.
And the CIA was going to try to rescue them and then was just like, oh, it's too much trouble, we're not going to do it. And one of the guys from the CIA like basically did it on his own. And then of course, you know, America took credit for it. And Canada, I think, did more than America. But Yeah, it was, I mean, they had all these ridiculous plans. Like, we'll get them bicycles and they can ride 180 kilometers north to Afghanistan.
And one of the plans was, we're going to have a fake movie. And when they go watch it, we'll like sneak them out with the popcorn maker.
The real plan that worked was they brought in the CIA guy and a couple other people saying they were film scouts for a Hollywood B sci-fi movie.
Yeah. And they had the whole thing set up like it was real. Like they actually hired people from Hollywood.
Like they hired a director. They put ads in, you know, Variety magazine, full page ads. Yeah. It was a funny cover up.
Oh, wow. Yeah. That's actually kind of cool. Maybe I should watch it.
Yeah. There's actually a line in there like, you know, why do we need to put ads in Variety magazine? Those people don't read it over there. And he's like, yeah, but all their cousins are over here selling bootleg VHSs on Sunset Boulevard. They'll tell them.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. So before that, though, and before that one hijacking, high level publicity, you know, well-known hijacking in the 70s, like basically Americans looked at the Middle East as like, you know, it's sandal wearing weirdos who made nice rugs that we could get cheap. That was like the entirety of, you know, the average American's view of the Middle East at that point.
Well, yeah, it was like an exotic thing. It was the Orient. Mm-hmm. It was like this cool, neat place you could think about and fantasize about. And mm-hmm. and there's the Sheik is like the name of the documentary about the Iron Sheik. But it was also like a 1921 film where I guess this girl falls in love with a Sheik. And it's like, you know, they weren't such an object of fear.
Yeah, yeah.
In fact, before the Shah was deposed, I believe Jimmy Carter was quoted as saying Iran was an island of stability in a sea of distress.
And then he and other subsequent presidents made sure to do something about that.
Exactly. Although nowadays Iran's probably relatively stable compared to Iraq, Syria, Israel, etc.
Yeah, I think that the way I got the idea of having wrestling names on here and decided to call myself the Iron Hamster and then made up wrestling names, fake wrestling names for everybody else. There's a Simpsons that's a takeoff on the Iron Sheik, and it's like Homer and Bart are watching TV, and there's a, you know, staged wrestling match, pro wrestling match between somebody called like the Shrieking Sheik and this other one that's called the Iron Yuppie, and the Iron Yuppie is like a masked man in a business suit.
Great. Yeah. Well, that's funny because there was the Million Dollar Man back in the same era, and his character was he was a millionaire and he would come and wear a suit.
Then that's a takeoff on.
But yeah, so the Iron Sheik, before he was the Iron Sheik, he was just Hosra Vaziri, and he was, I guess he was on the amateur circuit, and they had him like drive the bus and like drive the van and help set up the ring. Yeah, and even though he was like the only one with any wrestling talent or one of the only ones who could actually like put somebody in a hold and pin them and beat them, he was like a scrub. And then the Iranian Revolution happened. And then the hostage crisis happened, and all of a sudden they had this need for a bad guy who could represent the Middle Eastern other. And so he shaved his head and grew a mustache. Like before that, he wore his head full. He was clean shaven. He looked like, you know, a swarthy all-American kind of guy. I mean, like brownish, you. but I wear a beard. No, he was like completely clean shaven.
You're looking
swarthy.
Pretty,
what is the definition hippie, of swarthy? Because I know
it's like hairy and exotic. So if you got a hairy chest, and you're
I remember in that essay, I Hate Your Politics, No Matter What They Are, by John Scalzi. Do you remember we read that one time, Nima, and talked about it?
Yes, I do.
One of the things in there was, it was talking about the inconsistencies of Democrats and Republicans. And it said, you know, Republicans claim to be zero tolerance, but let their son get caught with a dime bag and see how zero tolerance they are. They claim to be, exactly. They claim to be,
but their daughter gets pregnant.
They claim to be pro-life, but watch what happens when their daughter gets impregnated by a swarthy day laborer.
Swarthy. Right.
That's funny you bring that up. That ties back to rap. The first actual song I wrote, like with like three verses and choruses in between them, the last line was about me knocking up Jenna Bush and then the president calling for an abortion because he couldn't let her have my baby.
Yeah, they were easy targets back then. They were like the Paris Hilton daughters of the president. That was kind of funny.
Right, right. Well, we always used to rag on her. I went to University of Texas, and I guess she had gotten caught on Sixth Street. Like, I don't know if it was a fake ID or something.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
She was like underage drinking. She got like a ticket. I don't remember the details, but ever since then.
She's probably going to see the B-hole surfers. They own a club down there. Yeah.
The B-hole
surfers. Oh, do they? Which one?
Emo's.
Oh, they own Emos?
Yeah, I've played Emos. Yeah, they own. They are part owners.
I didn't know they owned it.
Yeah, they're part owners of it.
Oh, sweet. Everybody always would bitch about them because it was so hard to illegally get a drink because of Jenna Bush. we can't say that.
It's radio. No, man. Where have you been? You've been out making rap.
I thought that was okay, though.
It's not okay on my show. I'm not going to say. We're just going to keep going. Okay. So, Nima, tell me in conclusion here more about your rap career and when and how can we hear some? Then we'll talk about other stuff.
Go to YouTube. Go to YouTube. I put all my songs. Well,
YouTube.
They're not all on there.
Use that
Y-O-U.
H-T-T-P.
You have to put that H-T-T-P thingy in the... Okay.
I believe you do. Yeah. Just Google it.
Is it the .com?
C-O-M. It's one of those internets. Have you guys heard about those yet?
I have
that. It's an internet.
Yeah, I have that.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Call your internet provider and ask them how to get to your YouTube.
How to get to Nima's videos. Think about pay for play TV, like how square it is. Like, you know, you generally order it up with your remote, but on some of them still, it's like, call to order this fight on TV. I'm like, what?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
For a transcript of this fight, send a self-addressed envelope.
A transcript?
Yeah. They used to say that on radio
They
shows.
Did. I remember that. Yeah, when I was a kid. Yeah. Oh, man.
My first webpage at the bottom of it in 1996, at the bottom of it, it said, for a transcript of this webpage, please send $5 to, and I had my P.O. box.
Did you get any money?
Of course not.
Oh, man, that would have been great. If I were your friend at that time, I would have sent you $5.
Just to mess with me.
Not to mess with you. Just be like,
mess
here you
with
go.
Me in a good way. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
So exactly. Rap. So people can get your raps on the YouTube.
Yeah. So I call it a YouTube play because I thought about putting it all together in album form, and that was the plan. But then I was like, you know what? I don't have a lot of time. I'm just going to release them, you know, periodically. I'm going to release all my songs on YouTube instead of like an LP. Or an EP, it's a YP. It's a YouTube play. So you go to YouTube, you can see a lot of my songs. You can search me in YouTube, or you can go to the channel, The Nima V. That's T-H-E, Nima V. And you can watch Eye on Me, which was actually the music video that led to me and Michael meeting in the first place. That's what started it all.
Yeah, I sent you a fan letter, and you were like, I'm busy, man. Leave me alone.
I'm busy. Doing TV work for the state. Yeah. And then and the most recent, See My Change, which ends in redemption. It's kind of a double entendre on chain being the tool of our enslavement. The enslavement is all around us.
I built the redemption in the third act.
You did.
I've taught that's like really there's only two things that are gonna be my contribution to liberty. And they're things that already exist everywhere in the world, but most people in liberty don't know about them. One is use a good microphone, use a windscreen and have it near your face. That's what most people don't do.
Near your face. Yeah.
Not your face. Too close.
Not too close.
And speaking of that, there's a guy we're going to watch or listen to later who did not follow your advice, but he's not a Liberty guy.
But he has more money than God. So,
right.
So there's no excuse. So, the other thing is have redemption in the third act, man. No matter how dire your story is, have a little bit of an arc, you know, hero's journey kind of thing or whatever, but still like, don't put people to bed scared at the end, you know, have some honest redemption in the third act.
Yes, yes. And so I followed your advice.
There's always hope.
The advice in the end is what breaks the chains is the blockchain. So it's sort of the anti-enslavery chain.
Even
the blockchain.
Even Doge.
Even Doge, yes. So you did watch the whole thing.
I did. I watched it. I watched it with closed captioning on, and no, I didn't. You ever do that, man? It's like Chinglish. It's like English.
English?
YouTube has its own closed captioning. Yeah. No, I've never clicked on
it. It's automatic.
I know it's there, but
it's automatic, and it's far from perfect, especially if it's music.
I have to do that now. That's all right. On my to-do list.
We'll be back.
You're listening to The Freedom Fiends, an invigorating alternative to those other shows.
Now that the elections are over and liberty has slipped even further away, it's time to try yet another political organization. Campaign for a Longer Leash is a nonpartisan group of pups and dogs dedicated to fighting for longer leashes for all. We're not talking about no leashes, that would be catarchy. We just want the limited leash that the Hounding Fathers promised us. As Bone Barklin once said, a longer leash if you can keep it, ma'am. For more info, go to facebook.com/campaignforalongerleash.
Okay.
Because I want to get the real laughs.
Oh, you weren't recording that whole time? I thought we were on the radio.
No.
Ah.
Now we're on the radio.
Okay.
Yeah.
Michael.
Yeah. Yeah.
I want to say, what have you been using for reverb? Is that same one you bought and then tried to sell? I thought you had given that one away.
No, I'm doing it with a mixer. I finally figured out how to do that.
Can really? You hear, it's just the mixer, huh? Sounds great.
You can hear the reverb when I use it?
Yeah. When I listen to the show, yeah. It sounds silky.
It is really silky. It's built into the mixer, which is a Zenix mixer, the USB Zenix mixer. I'm looking over to see what it is. It's the X2442 USB. And if you want to go to Creamy Radio Audio, which is my blog on how to do caviar sound on a cat food budget. I do list a bunch in there, and I have a couple of videos I've made on podcasting and doing radio and how to get a good sound out of it. The Zenix series is really good. They make a bunch of different ones that have, you know, some have more knobs and options than others, but they pretty much all have the same architecture and work really well. So I list three different ones in there for three different price ranges.
But the one you ended up getting was the Knobtron 9000?
I call it the Knobtron 9000. Yeah, it's I guess I was planning on expanding this to, like, you know, being backed in my home by a choir of 24 blonde angels or something, but I don't know.
the Fox News ladies in the back saying, "Hey, man."
Yeah, when they're too old to be on Fox News, they'll come work for me. Yeah.
That's great. It'll be like the Squiscar of the news ladies.
Wow. Squiscard. So, Diana, you were telling us that you went and partied with, tell us about it in Dubai.
Yeah. Okay. Not in Dubai. Well, yeah, I did party in Dubai. But for Halloween, I actually went to a friend of my boyfriend's.
Nima, have you ever actually even been to the Middle East?
No, not at all, man. Yeah. I wish.
I know.
My dad always told me that they would conscript me in the army or something. And I think it was just a cop out because he didn't want to buy extra planes.
Yeah, Diana goes and parties in Dubai with, like, Prince's and LL Cool J or something, I think.
Wow, really?
Diana, did you see the show notes for the other night when you were sick? I said, did you see it?
No.
I said, Diana is out partying with her boyfriend and the mayor of Dubai.
And the mayor of Dubai.
And Derek J needs the night off to process after seeing in person that the Move house in Philly is now a Baskin-Robbins. Because we talked about Move, you know, those people that were burned out of their houses and murdered by the police in the 70s.
Oh, my God.
And he'd heard about that, but he's from Philly, but he's a lot younger. He was not alive then. He was, like, in Philly last week. He looked up the address of it and went to the place where the first one was. And he's like, it's a Baskin-Robbins now, man. It really bummed
me out. That's for real? Oh, yeah. My gosh. Yeah. Wow. So
is that how they do gentrification now? They just, like, burn down your house with C4 and then put up a Baskin-Robbins.
Baskin-Robbins, yeah. The least they could do is put a Haagen-Dazs.
They probably get more tax money from Baskin-Robbins than they did from the people from Move who turned off their own power and didn't bathe and yelled at people out of bullhorns out the window and didn't pay.
Speaking of which, since we're on that tangent, I watched that documentary, Let the Fire Burn.
Yeah.
That blew my mind. I mean, it's like, how did I not know about this? How did I know about Ruby Ridge?
Because they don't want you to know
all of that stuff. Yeah.
And if they do, like, most Americans, a lot of Americans still think that the government is right in what they did in Ruby Ridge and Waco. Like, just because the news said so, you know, the news said, and because, you know, a lot of people think, well, if they're going in there with that heavy artillery, they must be bad people they're going after.
Right. Exactly. Yeah. And you know, and we talked about how bad of neighbors that they would be. And they were really horrible. Bad neighbors that move people, but still, you know, it's just, it was appalling to me what they did, you know, what the police force did. But anyway, so back to the Persians. So, my boyfriend has Persian friends, and I'm not sure how he happens to have Persian friends. He just does. But
your boyfriend's foreign, and he has a lot. He's kind of he's a multinational kind of guy.
Yeah, kind of. Yeah. And so
he's Canadian.
He's Canadian. We were invited to a friend of his house for Halloween.
French Canadian.
He is French Canadian.
I'm French Canadian by blood. But
no, you're not.
Yeah, I am. I'm absolutely French Canadian by blood.
Okay.
No, it's like I'm like a third French Canadian.
And Irish, right?
In order, I'm English, French, Canadian, Welsh, Irish, and tiny bit of German. But
is there Canadian blood? Is that a thing?
French Canadian blood. Well, French people think French Canadians are inferior, so they must think they're a different subspecies.
Yeah, they actually do. But it was pretty cool. It was a costume party, and Christian's my boyfriend. We dressed up like the guilty remnant from the HBO show The Leftovers, which is excellent. You should watch it, but nobody knew what we were because nobody watches the show. so we had to explain what we were, even though the guilty remnant doesn't talk. Anyway, But it was pretty cool. And they played a lot of Persian music, which I guess the Persian or Iranian pop music. And we danced, and I learned how to dance a Persian dance, which was pretty cool.
Did they say, I want to make babies with you and buy you a Mazda?
Nobody said that. I did not look sexy.
That's a Blues Brothers joke.
I did not look sexy. I was wearing a big old white jumpsuit.
Cool. Well, we'll be back for hour two of the Freedom Feeds after this trip to the free market. Worms.
Having outgrown childish libertarian fantasies, I now believe in worms! What is Libertarians Against Humanity? It's the only unofficial Cards Against Humanity expansion pack by libertarians, for libertarians, and against libertarians. Libertarians Against Humanity is free to play online, or join the Indiegogo campaign to get physical copies and other perks to play with friends or status you haven't defooed yet. Because if we don't laugh, the status win.
Not recommended for faint heart, thin skins, or those who easily rustle jimmies. Consult a physician if you experience dropped blood pressure or laughter lasts longer than 4 hours.
That's libertariansagainsthumanity.com.
Are you tired of your taxes funding endless occupations around the world? Antiwar.com is run by people who understand that wars abroad become wars at home, wars on our freedoms. Antiwar.com is dedicated to bringing you the latest in news, views, interviews, and reviews from the top movers and shakers in the anti-occupation movement. Antiwar.com has it all, from thorough foreign policy analysis to interviews with whistleblowers who used to run the military-industrial complex. Antiwar, pro-free market. That's antiwar.com.
Is Mr. Michael Dean. This is the Freedom Fiends broadcasting through the Libertarian Reindoctrination Center's low orbit ion cannon, high atop Financial Beast Plaza on the artificial satellite LibPair 2017 in the Alpha Centauri region.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Oh, say the part about the sin flood of statism.
That's in the hour one. I'll do it. We didn't do it, though.
But
I'll
say I really like that part.
Okay. This is the Freedom Fiends broadcasting from Pod Bay 2A, a mile above sea level at Intergalactic Prairie Studios. We alter your locus ceruleus by warming your synapses with rejuvenative radio waves. This keeps a sin flood of statism out of your brain. Can you feel it? Can you feel Diana and Nima? Is it working?
Oh, yeah.
It's warming? I thought it was worming.
No.
Warming.
I like that.
Hey, I have a question for y'all.
Yeah.
Do y'all like Obama?
No. I think Obama is
stink.
His feet stink. He's a liar.
He's
a socialist.
His toes a little bit.
Yeah. Yeah. Hey, Nima, do you know that we're on the radio in New Orleans now?
I heard. That's awesome.
Not today.
Oh, man.
But tomorrow.
So great.
Yeah, Sunday. So, yeah. But actually in Slidell, but it covers the whole New Orleans metro area. There's some rapper from Slidell. Who is it? Little Cass? I forget. Somebody.
No, his name's Lil Minorps.
No. All right, I'm making notes here. All right, so
oh, you can't see
no. Okay.
All
right,
fine.
All right. Yeah, so Nima Vidotti, you're a rap star. What's up?
I thought we were going to talk about
Juvenile.
MasterCard.
Juvenile is from Slidell.
Juvenile. Oh yeah. Yeah. Oh, everybody loves Juvenile.
Yeah.
Still to this day, back that A word up gets the dance floors popping.
Yeah. Yeah. So yeah. We want to talk about the state and how square they are and how they are like a dinosaur.
Really,
they're like a dinosaur thrashing in the tar pits. And we actually have a video of the state thrashing in the tar pits going extinct.
Or the T-1000
melting
in the lava.
That's a Nima line. That was Nima. So we're gonna play, this is a 4-minute video. We're gonna play half of it and discuss it and then play the other half. And this is it's from something called Channel News Asia Connect.
Which is a real thing. We looked it up.
I mean, it sounds like, you know, what's the thing in 1984? What do they call the countries? What would their news service be?
Eurasia.
Yeah. Right. East Asia. Yeah. It would be the East Asia Ministry of Truth.
Yeah. Yeah. So basically, this is MasterCard, the company that makes a little enslavement. Well, I want to be careful here. They're probably very litigious and probably all they've got is lawyers. They don't even really, I don't think they have a product anymore to speak of in the sense of that this guy's defending himself against, or trying to. So MasterCard, the guy in this, first of all, you have to understand how bad this guy looks. I was watching this.
So bad.
I was watching this and my wife came in and thought I was watching The Walking Dead. She thought this was a zombie.
He really looks bad. He looks like he's been up all night, hasn't shaved. You know, it's high def, and so you can see all his dark circles and his pores and everything. Yeah. It's like, ew.
Yeah.
But his body language, too, or his facial language, I guess you could say.
We're burying the lead who this guy is.
Oh,
This is the head of MasterCard Asia, basically.
My goodness.
And he's giving a basically doing a talk about why Bitcoin is bad and MasterCard is good. And the funny thing is, like, everything he said that's bad about MasterCard or about Bitcoin is actually something that's good. Like, it can be used without the government knowing about it.
Oh, no. And,
Yeah. And he says the things that are good about MasterCard, like, well, you need a system that has trust and has people behind it. And, you know,
and
you,
it's
you
regulated.
Can, it's regulated. And we're like, that's something that's bad about MasterCard.
It's because people really trust credit card companies.
Yeah. And they're basically
always on the top five list.
They're basically the government. Yeah. They're basically the government at this point. Okay. All right. So I'm going to play part of this video. And just when I get disgusted and go, bah! I'll stop and we'll discuss. But you guys could yell at it if you don't swear.
Okay.
Okay. Here we go. Oh, and it's got that big radio swoosh at the beginning. I hate that. And it's a cliche.
There's a huge opportunity in Asia. And so it's very important for us to look and understand what are the real benefits that are being put into the system by these new technologies. If you're a consumer or a merchant, a government, even a financial services provider, what's really critical is that what you're putting into the marketplace is solving a need for a customer and it's trusted. Trust and security, a stable form of value, are incredibly critical if you're going to be able to get acceptance for the services that you're looking to provide. The challenge with cryptocurrencies like Bitcoin is that they're unstable in terms of their intrinsic value. They don't offer perhaps the recourse that consumers are naturally expecting that come from using cash in the day-to-day. And they're also there to serve a purpose that's not necessarily completely clear. Let me give you an example. Bitcoin and a lot of the concerns related to Bitcoin are because they are looking to guarantee anonymity, essentially electronic cash, if you will. And what MasterCard is critically looking at is how can we move to this world beyond cash? How do we actually use electronic payments to combat and combat the inefficiencies of cash and really create a much more transparent and inclusive financial system? If you really want to do that, it's quite hard to understand what the appeal is of a cryptocurrency currency is really essentially electronifying cash.
That seems to be pretty inefficient.
Innovation in payments, and frankly any industry, is critically important to maintaining a healthy competitive environment and driving improvements and experiences for consumers and businesses. Innovation is something critically important to what MasterCard does, and MasterCard is particularly focused on ensuring that we're delivering safe, simple, smart solutions to consumers.
Okay.
Wow.
Let's stop that for a while. Let's discuss that.
I wanted to say this before, but I'm going to say it now. It's all in their name. MasterCard.
Exactly.
I didn't even think of that. Yeah. They want to be
They must think their audience is stupid. Yeah. I mean, probably a lot of them are, but
I also want this and the response to this kind of reminds me of any time like the NSA puts up something saying, we're not spying on you. It's all good. We're here to protect you. Like, okay, they have disabled comments on this.
Right. But they have their thumbs up and thumbs down.
And the thumbs up, they have 23 thumbs up on this video and 1,540 thumbs down. And I'll bet most of the 23 people that
are employees
who were like sent this video and told to click on it.
Right.
Yeah.
You'll get a free pizza party if everybody in your department clicks like on this video.
We're not going to make you click on a like on it, but yeah, if we get over 20 clicks on likes on it, everyone gets pizza.
Yay, pizza.
Yeah.
Well, food's a really big motivator for a lot of people.
Yeah. It's like one of the motivators.
Yeah.
You delivered
we'll
pizza.
Have an ice cream party.
Now, Nima, you delivered pizza. And tell me the reaction when you would show up at doors compared to people's reaction when the police show up at their doors. What do people like more, pizza or police?
I'm not even going to dignify that. You know what, though? I will say this. There was a thing that went viral a few months ago. You remember police arrested a guy who was a pizza delivery man, and then they finished the delivery. Like, they took the pizza to the family who had ordered it. And everybody's reaction was, oh, what awesome police officers. It's like, oh no, you didn't have to arrest the guy in the first place. I mean, come on. Well, he was on his way already. I don't know. It was probably like an old warrant or something. I remember they had me once when I was delivering a pizza, handcuffs on the back of my car for an old warrant.
Man.
And they said they were going to call my manager and tell him to come get the pizza.
Well, you're a rapper. That's just more street cred.
Yeah, I guess so.
Getting arrested for an old traffic warrant. Yeah, you're really...
While you're delivering pizza.
Yeah, yeah.
You're scary, man. You got traffic warrants. Watch out.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Misdemeanor criminal. Mike. Yeah.
Criminal element.
Yeah.
I love it.
There should be a rapper who has misdemeanor in his name. Like, yeah, I'm a criminal, but
there is. Missy Elliott.
Yeah, Missy Misdemeanor Elliott.
Oh, okay. I don't know. I don't know what that is. Actually, I know what that is because she plays a congresswoman on 30 Rock.
No, she doesn't. That's Queen Latifah.
Okay.
Oh, no.
All female black rappers are the same to Michael W.P.
No.
I don't know.
I love Missy Elliott.
Yeah. Derek J should do a rap record and have misdemeanor in his name, because that guy has like a lot of arrests and they're all misdemeanors. Like, and some of them he went out of his way, I think, to get or to prove a point for a movie.
Yeah, yeah. Well, what's it called? Derek J's victimless crime spree.
Yeah,
yeah,
yeah. That's awesome.
He commits 3 felonies a minute. I mean, 3 misdemeanors a minute.
Misdemeanors a minute.
Instead
of
3 felonies a day. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. He's the misdemeanor minute man.
Hey, that's a good rap name.
It is a good rap name.
Yeah, I like that. And she's go on tour with Missy Misdemeanor Elliott.
I don't know what that is. All right, so we're talking about MasterCard. The rappers all love their MasterCards, don't they? Don't they all love their...
No, they rap about their black cards, which I think is the Red American Express.
Yeah. Yeah, in 30 Rock, Alec Baldwin's character has a gold Visa card that's made of gold.
Hey, speaking of that, do you know that you can get a sterling silver Starbucks card now?
Oh, no, I didn't know.
It's $200 and it's loaded with $50 worth of Starbucks.
Can you get a Baskin Robbins card that is made out of the tears of murdered black children? It only works in Philadelphia.
I don't think we can laugh at that.
Oh, yeah.
Too soon.
Are you going to bleep yourself on that one?
No, man.
You're the MasterCard.
No, man. I'm not for the people from Move because they were horrible neighbors, but I'm against what the state did to them.
Yeah, absolutely. Right. Yeah.
That's such an important distinction, too. People don't get that.
Yeah.
They think you're always, if you're against something the state did, then you're for whatever they did it against.
Yeah.
Right.
That's not always true.
Yeah. Like, you know, I mean, I've seen speeches of the guy from Waco. What was that guy's name? That got burned out of his house and killed.
David Koresh.
Yeah. I mean, if that guy were alive and were a libertarian and were, you know, was popular, I'd be talking about every third episode about how I think he's running a cult. But but if anybody who's running a cult in Liberty got burned to death in their home with a bunch of children, I would not think it was a good thing.
No. Right, 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 right.
Yeah.
Like that Futurama episode where Zoidberg eats the flag.
Yeah.
And there's the gay polygamist from Mars who fought on a war in every planet.
Yeah.
He says, I don't agree with what Zoidberg did, but I'll defend with my life his right to do it.
Yeah. And that's true freedom, man, is when you you will stand up for things you don't like that do not have victims.
Amen, brother.
I think that's the only real liberty we've had in this show, but it's fun, and that's part of liberty. All right. We'll be back to talk about the mastering of MasterCard, of mastering you.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends. So much truth, it hurts.
This show survives on donations from fiends like you. We put that money back into our show and Liberty Outreach and donate most of our ad space to Liberty organizations that make a difference. We're also a teaching hospital, educating the next generation of Liberty Talkers on the skills needed to keep the radio flame of truth burning into the future. Put your money where your heart is and make a donation of any amount to the Freedom Fiends. Please go to freedomfiends.com and click on the spinning coin on any post.
Freedom Fiends. It's Michael Dean talking with Diana Carter and Nima the Dotty.
Meow.
Give me a meow, Nima. All right, so how are your cats, Nima?
I think I might have said this on the show right before I left, but one of them is now a she, and he used to be a he.
What?
Yeah, Flockin was having problems in his nether regions, and so the doctors decided to turn him into a girl.
Okay.
Yeah, but he's doing.
He wasn't just neutered. He was actually transitioned.
Yes, he's a post-op kitty cat.
See, this is what happens when you try to legalize marijuana. It leads to cat sex change. Yeah. How's your other cat?
Retarded as ever.
And how's your dog?
They crouch together in corners, like in awkward positions that they shouldn't be in.
How's your family?
You won the cat lottery there.
How's your wife and your kid?
They're awesome. My kid is walking. She learned how to walk completely pretty much a week ago. Now she just takes off by herself everywhere.
She is so cute.
Oh, thank you. I'm assuming you've seen her.
So you're a libertarian.
On the Facebooks.
So you're a libertarian. So that means she can go get a job now and leave home, right?
Now that she can walk.
Yeah.
She can support herself now.
It brings up such a huge new thing of challenges, right? Because I keep thinking about how excited I'm going to be when she finally wants something and I have to tell her to go work, get some money and pay.
That'll happen soon enough.
Yeah. All right, so go ahead.
When they start walking is when you really have to watch them.
Well, because then they have some freedom. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well,
and we call her Mrs. Destructor because finds everything and she must topple it or smash it or dismember it in some way.
Wow.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So,
in a fun way.
Okay. So anything else on that?
No, thank you for asking.
Yeah. All right. So,
we're done talking about your kid.
Okay. Yeah. All right. So we're talking about MasterCard and how it wants to master your life, or apparently. So they put out this video. We played half of it. We'll play the other half after this, after the next break. But it's basically like, it reminds me the video. First of all, the audio is horrible. I mean, the audio, like if they bought an $18 lavalier mic, you know, and clipped it on this guy, and it would have sounded a lot better. If I made a video right now of me in my room, it would sound exponentially better than this video made by the most powerful banking organizations in the world.
And his suit is really bad too.
I really think they stayed up all night having a bull session, consuming all sorts of, who knows, you know, let's just say pizza. And, you know, pizza keeps you up all night. So they stayed up all night and said, we have to do something about Bitcoin. And at like 7 a.m., someone's like, okay, my cell phone can do high def video. Okay, write this up. And there's actually a bunch of cut edits in this. Like you can tell he did not do it in nearly one take. You can tell he's reading off cue cards or a monitor. And it's in a room.
It
sounds like he's in a bathroom. He doesn't have makeup. The lighting's really bad. They didn't even like color balance it. I mean, he looks blue. He looks like a zombie. He looks like a sweaty zombie that's been up all night eating too much high caliber pizza.
High caliber.
Yeah. And like they drew straws to see who would lose and have to do this video. And they didn't spend any money on post-production. They put this thing up like, all right, we've solved the Bitcoin problem. Let's go to Martinique. Let's go to Whore Island. No, I'm kidding. That's an Archer reference. It's where rich
and use our
go.
Bitcoin accounts to pay for our products.
Yeah. Or and services we may wish to purchase. So,
exactly.
Yeah. And it kind of reminds me, you know, about 5 years ago, Encyclopedia Britannica, like their sales were way, 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 way down, mainly because of Wikipedia. Like every once in a while, there's a disruptive technology, you know, that kind of throws the other thing under the bus. And the other thing
like
tries
cars.
Like cars. Like, yeah, like this guy from MasterCard complaining about Bitcoin and like nervously and sweaty telling why Bitcoin is bad and getting everything wrong. It kind of reminds me of like a horse and buggy horse whip manufacturers trying to outlaw cars or the guy from Encyclopedia Britannica saying why Wikipedia was bad.
Do you have, is there a video of,
it's not a video, Britannica? It was an article, but, probably find it at some point. Yeah.
I just wonder if they ever put out like a commercial explaining their benefits or like an infomercial or something like that. That would be great as opposed to the internet.
And the thing is like Wikipedia doesn't have to, you know, like right. Wikipedia doesn't advertise. If it's kind of like pot. Pot's such a good, you know, and I don't smoke pot, but apparently people like it enough and the side effects are mild enough that you don't need to advertise. Like if somebody stands on a corner and sells weed, like people will beat a path to him. And it's the same thing with Bitcoin.
Attraction rather than promotion.
Yeah, man. There you go. Nice use of the lingo. Worms. We'll be back.
Worms.
After some ads for Bitcoin stuff. Stuff you can buy with Bitcoin.
You're listening to the Freedom Fiends, and I'm beaming these words into your cerebellum.
Hey, this is Squiscar Squigelts from Death Clocks, and you are listening to the Freedom Fiends on the, you know, the radios. And I guess I says worms now, so there you go.
You've read books, attended lectures, and you know the Constitution well enough to know it's a well-crafted blueprint to create an ever-increasing federal empire. But there's still one thing missing.
Buttons!
Freedom Fiends now has buttons. You'll get state speech is hate speech, guns and weed,
buy sheep for sheep on sheep,
and two designs for the Freedom Fiends. Wear them with pride. Use them to start conversations with statists.
It's only $10 for 10 buttons, including shipping.
Go to freedomfiends.com and click on the link at the top that says buttons.
What does freedom mean? Tune in to LRN.FM to find out. LRN.FM is the Liberty Radio Network, a collection of live talk radio and podcasts, all coming from a principled pro-liberty perspective. LRN.FM show hosts aren't left, right, or conspiracy kooks. You can tune in 24/7 to LRN.FM via your phone, computer, satellite, and more. Listen free anytime at LRN.FM. That's LRN.FM.
Freedom Fiends, I'm talking to Neem Abdadi and Diana Kyler.
Yow.
About the guy who, yow. The guy, the video we're watching of the guy from MasterCard that looks like something from
Walking Dead,
but yeah, it's not.
He's the MasterCard zombie.
He is. Well,
I think in that first bit, not only was he trying to take swings at cryptocurrency, trying to compare them to cash, but I think he was underhandedly trying to take swings at cash too.
Yeah.
And I think that's a thing now. I heard David Stockman on the Tom Woods Show, and I'm looking at an article right now. He's writing about a guy named Kenneth Rogoff, who I guess is a Keynesian economist from Harvard, who's going around the policy circuit telling everybody the way to get out of the current financial crisis is just to get rid of cash and let the central banks control everything.
Oh yeah, I've heard
they can
that.
Master it
because they don't even have to. Recently. They don't even have to print money. Then they just add an extra zero and they're
Well, right. Well, not only that, but they can just keep control of everything. They can try to know everything. That's always what they're looking for, is they think if they can just nudge people in the right direction and have all the inputs at their behest, they can tweak it to where it'll work like a clockwork. What they don't realize is that the economy is nature, man. It's not a clock. It's an ecosystem.
Yeah, I've been hearing since the 70s Christians saying that credit cards were the number of the beast. And I've actually...
Yeah, just wait till they start wanting to put implants in us.
I recently read in the Catholic Weekly or whatever, some big Catholic magazine said that it was a guy writing for that magazine saying he thought Bitcoin was the mark of the beast.
Oh my gosh.
I would say if credit cards are the mark of the beast, I think Bitcoin is the workaround to get away from the mark of the beast.
Yeah, yes. Absolutely.
Yeah.
It's and like, I mean, marinate. All the other stuff is government regulated and government supported and all this other stuff. And so, I mean, wouldn't that make sense that that would be more like the mark of the beast?
Than Bitcoin? Let's play more of this video of this guy. This part, he's trying to tell why MasterCard can be as sexy as Bitcoin.
it's diet.
Transactions of cash. So what we're trying to ensure is that we are building compelling, interesting, secure, and convenient payment solutions that encourage merchants, consumers, governments, and other participants in the financial system to move to adopt electronic payments. With a big increase in internet traffic, convergence with mobile and everything digital, there's huge interest in cryptocurrencies and what perhaps they could create in the marketplace. Now, we at MasterCard are not completely comfortable with the idea of cryptocurrencies, largely because they go against the whole principle that we have established our business on, which is really moving to a world beyond cash and ensuring greater transparency and security and simplicity in the way people live their lives. Mm. If you think about it, cash is a problem for a number of countries. Cash really facilitates anonymity. It facilitates illegal activity. It facilitates avoidance and a range of other things that aren't going to drive an efficiency in an economy. Trust is a critical component of any payment system. So if you think about the idea that all of a sudden you're having cryptocurrencies being manufactured, if you like, on an anonymous computer in an anonymous location, it's completely legitimate to have some concerns about how that might be working. What a regulator wants to do is ensure that there is a fully compliant, I guess, route to the transaction, that they understand who is making the transaction, who that payment is being made to, and that they have a suitable record so they can ensure that there's prudential control over the system. If it's an anonymous transaction, that sounds like a suspicious transaction. Why does somebody need to be anonymous? I certainly don't want anybody mining technology or mining financial services away from my control, particularly if they're going to represent something for me.
Aren't
central banks' payments to financial institutions off record? I mean, they don't keep all of those on record. There are that secret payments. That's why they want to audit the Fed.
But he has access to them. He works.
And Bitcoin is completely transparent.
right. How is he trying to compete with Bitcoin on transparency? And he brought up the trust thing, but he didn't even, if he would have been smarter, he could have tried to attack their talking point. Because
trustless.
People say it's trustless. And it's so he could have twisted that. Right. But he's not even smart enough or savvy enough or sophisticated enough to do that.
It's like saying, oh no, this thing produces negative ions, when negative ions are actually good for you.
Are actually really good, yeah.
Or, oh my God, my HIV test was negative. It's negative. Negative is bad. Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah, like I said, I think this came out of and was filmed at the end of an all-night pizza.
It
some
totally
sort
looks
of
like
turbo pizza consuming. Yeah.
Lots of espresso.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah, and this is the guy that we're supposed to trust. That's the other thing. Trust me. Hey, guys, come on. Trust me.
I know.
I'm sweaty.
I look like I've been up all night and I look like a zombie. Trust me.
So trust me.
Trust me not only with your money, but with all the money.
All the money. All the filthy lucre.
He does kind of look like Gollum from The Lord of the Rings, doesn't he?
I don't know. I think he looks more like, there was an ad in the 70s made by the government. It was made by the Ad Council. You know, it was the same people that made the crying Indian ad, the anti-pollution ad.
Yeah,
it was actually like a Jewish Italian guy playing an Indian. Iron Eyes Cody. Yeah, I think he came out that he was, I don't know, like a 128th Cherokee or something. I don't know what the story is, but I'm not going to stick to that as fact. But there was another ad made by that same ad company for the Ad Council for the United States government. It was an anti-drug ad. And I think it was the same people that made the LBJ versus Goldwater nuclear bomb girl picking flowers end of the world ad that got Goldwater defeated. But this ad, it had this skinny guy in a cheap suit. This guy's in an expensive suit, but it looks like this actor's grandson or something. Like we're watching the grandson now, or maybe the son. The guy in this video in this ad in the 70s, it was like this guy, this skinny, sleazy looking guy with slick back hair, which comes into a schoolyard with a briefcase, opens it up on a picnic table, and all the kids gather around, and they're all like 10, and they're all blonde, they're all white, and they're all blonde. And I think there was one black kid in there just because, you know, it was the 70s and that was starting to be required. So there was, but there was, he's like, acid.
We need a black kid.
He was like, acid, grass, hash, smack, uppers, downers, inners, outers. He didn't say inners, outers, but and this like really angelic looking 10-year-old blonde kid looks up at him and says, "Why do they call it dope, mister?" And he's like, "Hey, get away from me, kid. You bother me." And then it ends with voiceover of "Why do they call it dope?" This guy really reminds me of the actor playing the sleazy drug dealer in the schoolyard. Yeah,
he's the sleazy pusher,
the pushing pusher, his pusher
master guard on him.
Yeah. So more comments on this thing. Man, there's just so many. The audio, I don't know why MasterCard, you know, maybe this thing looks like it was made on someone's cell phone after the end of a pizza and espresso binge. But maybe they actually hired and spent like $250,000 paying some ad agency to make it look edgy. You know?
I don't know.
It doesn't strike me as that. I know that's a thing, but I don't think that was the thing here.
Well, it wasn't made by MasterCard. It was made by, actually, the company that made it is a subsidiary of Temasek Holdings, which is a government-owned investment arm from Singapore.
With their second headquarters in USA.
Yeah.
I was going to say, like, how many people out there really think that they know everything about their credit card or debit card services? I mean, I thought that was one of the big complaints, is that you don't really know what your rates mean, what you're paying. They're notorious for the high late charges.
Credit cards were the first industry I remember in probably the 80s. This is before, like, anyone knew what an EULA was, you know, an electronic end user license, like the things when you buy a new computer and you open it up to make it work. You have to click.
It says, I agree.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And you're agreeing to a contract that's too long to read. It's in legalese and it's subject to change at any time.
Right.
Credit cards were the first company I heard like consumer backlash about that practice. Because when you sign up for a credit card, you're agreeing to, you know, basically a constitution that can and will be amended whenever they feel like it the time.
Yeah.
Right. And they've actually, you know, people have tried to like, they've written their congressmen and formed groups and got the government to, you know, write some legislation in conjunction with the credit card companies to like supposedly fix that. They've never fixed it. They never will.
No, because they trust the regulators. Like he said, the regulators will take care of it, but the regulators are hired by people who are in cahoots with them anyway.
You know what this guy reminds me of? This guy reminds me of hair metal bands in the 80s, just realizing there's a band called Nirvana. In the 90s.
It's like why they're better.
Yeah.
They have way too much reverb and white noise on their guitar.
Nirvana
sounds.
Don't even dress up for a show, man. We're the real deal. We put on a show. We take care of ourselves. Right, we look good. We wear clothes that, you know, those guys look like they just rolled out of bed. That's not music.
Sometimes they wear t-shirts from bands they're not even in. Like, how are you supposed to trust somebody who's wearing a Melvins t-shirt when he's in a band called Nirvana?
Yeah. Oh, if we're done with this, I want to talk about Dave Grohl with you a little bit, Nima Vidadi.
Is it bad news?
Well, he made this amazing series. Have you seen this series, Lost Highways?
Is it the one about the studio?
No, he made a follow-up to that, which is like an 8-part series called Lost Highways, made for HBO. That's like each one is one city and it's musical history. Like he did New Orleans, he did Austin, he did Nashville, he did DC, he did New York, he did Los Angeles, he did Seattle. I think it was 7.
No.
It was great. And he goes into like, you know, like in each one he covers like the old and the new. Like in DC, he covers the funk from the 70s and then the punk from the 80s where he came from. You know, in Seattle, he covers like, you know, the old garage punk bands from the 60s and then like the grunge scene. You know, in Los Angeles, he covers like, you know, the 70s and then what's going on now and the punk in the late 70s, early 80s. So it's really great. Have you seen it?
There's nothing on Wikipedia about it.
Nothing?
Is it new?
No, there's not nothing. Sonic Highways.
Sonic Highways.
You said Lost Highways.
Oh, okay. That's a Sonic
Highways. David Lynch.
Sorry. Yeah, Sonic Highways. It's an amazing series. And they actually paid me $5.
Isn't that their new album name too?
Yes. And his music in it is kind of I don't really like his music much. It's kind of
I loved it when it first came out. I stopped listening to it. Yeah,
after all the notes are in the right place, but it's like it's kind of gutless.
Their first two albums, though, had lots of.
They were stellar. They were stellar.
Yeah. Well, it's because Pat Smear was playing guitar.
He's in this. He's still with him.
Oh, he came back? Oh.
Yep. All right. We'll be back with the redemption in the third act of what's wrong with Dave Grohl? We talk about what's right about him.
What's wrong with Dave Grohl?
Listening to Freedom Fiends with Michael Dean and some of his weird friends. And yes, we're broadcasting this into space. Creamy Radio Audio. Want caviar sound on a cat food budget? Creamy Radio Audio by the Freedom Fiends has great free tips so you can sound like a pro without spending like one. The most powerful form of human communication is one person speaking to another. But if people have to suffer through your sound, they'll change the channel and miss your message. With articles on microphones, preamps, recorders, mastering, recording remotely over the internet, doing a podcast, even getting a show on actual radio, the Freedom Fiends show you what they use and where to get it. Whether you're a talk show host, voiceover artist, podcaster, evangelist, or just want to record your loved ones for the ages, at Creamy Radio Audio, the Freedom Fiends will help you make the most of your sound. Creamy Radio Audio will help you speak to the world with sound that will make people want to keep listening. Check out creamyradioaudio.com. That's creamyradioaudio.com.
The Central Scrutinizer is a Soviet-style Leviathan trying to keep track of all you do. That's why I use a VPN, or virtual private network, from Bola VPN. Bola VPN is inexpensive, secure, and will allow you to use your computer without leaving a trail. Bola VPN is now also offering torrent seed boxes for safely sharing media with the world. And if you open a support ticket saying you heard about them from the Freedom Fiends, they'll add 3 extra days free. That's Bola VPN at BOLEHVPN.net.
This show survives on donations from fiends like you. We put that money back into our show and Liberty Outreach and donate most our ad space to Liberty organizations that make a difference. We're also a teaching hospital, educating the next generation of Liberty talkers on the skills needed to keep the radio flame of truth burning into the future. Put your money where your heart is and make a donation of any amount to the Freedom Fiends. Please go to freedomfiends.com and click on the spinning coin on any post.
All right, Freedom Fiends. So the redemption in the third act here, I don't know, I'm still complaining. I don't know if I have redemption yet, but I'm going to let Nima take the last couple minutes of it and just wing it. About how to avoid the tyranny of the card that wants to master you and
master card.
And the guy that used to be in the coolest rock band in the world that's made some really good records on his own afterwards and made some really good documentaries and then blew it in his redemption in the third act. Okay.
What was his redemption in the third act? Well, I gotta know.
I gotta tell you though, first of all, I actually had a tiny part in the making of all these. His production company contacted me and paid me $500 to license 8 seconds of DIY or Die, How to Survive as an Independent Artist.
Oh, wow.
It was funny.
Did they play it?
Yeah, they licensed like, I think they licensed like 20 seconds of it and they used like 3 seconds of it and I was happy. I got the check.
And that's
check.
In the Sonic Highways?
It's in the first one, the Chicago one. Oh, there were 8. Yeah, the Chicago one. Because we interviewed Steve Albini for our DVD extras and they interviewed him. They interviewed that line that I thought was his best line. You know, it is the best line. It's one I've been quoting this whole show. Nima's heard this before, where I said that he said that major labels market bands like they're shaking a severed head in your face. Okay, so, I mean, I got my check. I got my name in the credits really tiny at the end of that. But do you remember when we interviewed Chris Novoselic from Nirvana? Yeah, and the first hour of it was amazing, and we talked about rock and roll. And then the second hour, we talked about politics, and it got like he was trying to fix the voting process. And
right, yeah, it was weird. It was like telling my hero why he was wrong.
Yeah, and creepy. And he And he said that he and Dave Grohl had recently like played at the White House and played like "You're My Hero" for Obama or something.
Oh,
like that.
Yeah, we tried to say how square it was. He was like, "No, man, Dave's great. That was awesome."
Like, I knew that about Dave Grohl from that interview. And then I was watching this series, and it is amazing. And you should go watch it, Nima, especially the DC Punk one and the Austin one. But
Minor Threat and Fugazi.
Yeah, yeah. But so in this whole thing, I kind of like. You know, Dave writes the narration and reads it, his voiceover at various parts at the beginning and the end of each one. And like, he always kind of has this underpinning of like, he's talking about these studios and these performance halls that are great American landmarks and need to be preserved. And I keep waiting for him. Waiting for him to say, and the government has to do something about it, but he never does. He never does. But I kind of get that feeling from what I know about him that he's thinking that way. The last one, the eighth one, the New York one, in the last 10 minutes of it, and literally they all have a hero's journey. They all have a redemption in the third act. In this one, it's basically this guy who runs this really cool studio in New York, this boutique studio where like, you know, Bowie and all these bands have recorded. And the guy's like basically saying like, I can't even pay my rent anymore, man. I'm priced out of here. This is a yuppie neighborhood. And I helped make it a place people wanted to be. And then it priced me out of it. And people need to close their laptops and come to real studios. And I'm thinking like, okay, you're a horse and buggy manufacturer, but at least you're not, saying the government. And then he says, I mean, I think that like the president or somebody in Congress should like, you know, make these studios national landmarks so they can't be. And I was like, Dave, it wasn't Dave saying it, but Dave put it in the redemption in the third act of the last of the whole series, which was kind of the redemption for the whole series too. Then, okay, that guy says like one more thing after that. And then it's like final interview. It's Dave Grohl talking to Barack Obama. In the White House, and Barack Obama trying to sound hip and talk about musical heritage. He didn't quite go to saying, I think we need to steal money and make these studios landmarks, but you could tell that was what Dave was framing it. Like, that's where it should go.
Wow. That's
so
awful. Square.
So sad.
Yeah, if the guy really thinks that he's priced out because all the yuppies moved.
Dave should buy those studios, man.
Yeah, Dave should do it, or this guy who's saying he can't pay his rent should charge people to come and take tours during the day when nobody's recording because musicians don't wake up till noon.
There you go. There are four.
It's like people don't get that the market can solve a lot of these problems. They just want to run to the government to fix it.
Yeah. Dave Square, man. Yeah. Kurt Cobain never would have said that.
No. And that's I think one of the disappointing things about the Dave Grohl interview is because I feel like you were trying to channel some of that. And Dave was so anti-authority that he couldn't handle being a mainstream success because it was
Dave
like counter-
or Kurt?
Kurt was. Sorry, yeah, Kurt was. And yeah, he would have hated all that kind of stuff. He would have never made a documentary like that.
He was into a record label called Kill Rock Stars. Maybe he had to kill himself because he was a rock star.
I heard you say that the other day, and I thought, huh.
And that's,
never thought
and that's not the redemption in the third act. Give me the redemption real quick, Nima. 20 seconds.
The redemption is freedom wins in the end, man. So relax and enjoy your life. A life well lived is the best tribute you can make to liberty.
I have one.
Go.
Pay off all your credit card debt and burn your credit cards.
Cancel them first, though.
Okay, yeah, there you go.
That's what
cancel
we did.
Cancel first.
Yeah, if you just cut them up, you're still tethered.
Yeah.
Worms. Yeah, DJ and I did that like five years ago. Felt really good, man. Worms.
Thank you.